I want to turn to Judges chapter 6. If you read the history of Israel, you find as long as they have good leaders, the people are okay. And the moment the leader died, they backslid, turned away from God, worshipped idols, and until God raised up another leader. That's been the history of God's people in the Old Testament. And one such history I want to show you this morning, we see in Judges chapter 6, verse 1. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. Because they disobeyed God, they moved away from God, because they started worshipping idols that God had forbidden them. It says God delivered them into the hand of Midianites. That's not God's will for His people, that they should be as slaves, be defeated. And the Midianites oppressed them. It says they used to come and take away whatever they could find. Not only the crops, all their animals. And to such an extent, verse 2 says, they had to go and hide themselves in the dens, in the mountains, caves. And verse 4, it says, they destroyed the increase of the earth. And they left no sustenance in Israel. And they plundered them. And it says, verse 6, Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. You know, it took them 7 years to come to need. After 7 years, they started praying. I don't know why they waited for 7 years. And, you know, all defeat is due to sin and idolatry and disobedience. That's why we need to get rid of all idols from our hearts. God hates idolatry, disobedience, pride, rebellion, unbelief. God judged the people of Israel because of their idolatry. Idol is something that takes the place of God in their lives. The Old Testament, the Lord gave the commandment, thou shalt love the Lord with all your heart and in mind and soul and strength. Jesus should not only be our Savior. I think many of us know Jesus as a Savior, but not many people know Jesus as Lord and King. Our goal is to have a church which is free from all idol worship. We want brothers and sisters who worship only the Father in spirit and truth. So when they cried out, it's amazing. Despite their backslidden condition, despite their sin and disobedience, it says here, verse 8, Judges chapter 6, verse 8, because they cried out that the Lord sent a prophet unto children of Israel. And the prophet said, like, we don't know the name of the prophet. He said, thus says the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt and brought you forth out of the house of bondage. I delivered you out of the hand of Egyptians and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drew them out from before you, and gave you their land, that the land of Canaan. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. This is the prophetic word the prophet gave. But you have not obeyed my voice. We thank God for such prophets who don't say things in a nice way, who don't beat about the bush, who come straight to the point and say, you have not disobeyed my voice. Brothers and sisters, we should be thankful for the prophetic word in the church. And that's why I believe we must pray. See, it's one thing to share some interesting things in the church, it's one thing to have testimonies, but to have a prophetic word that shows the people their condition, and a word that is needed at this particular time, that is a prophetic word. Prophetic word is not saying, thus says the Lord, so and such and such things won't happen. May God always give us a prophetic word in the church. And this Midianites is a picture of the devil oppressing God's people. And our conflict is always against the devil. In Ephesians 6 we read, our Struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, all evil spirits. And we need in the church people who will engage in this warfare against Satan. Okay. We know all sin, they were living in defeat because of their sin, disobedience, idolatry. First we need to identify the cause of a defeat. Then only the Lord can help us. Okay. That's number one. Number two, Gideon. See, God raised up a judge called Gideon to help Midianites. And the interesting thing is Gideon himself was living in a time when all the people were discouraged, fearful, frustrated by the oppression of the Midianites. But God chose Gideon. And you know, Gideon had an encounter with the Lord several times. That's very interesting. For example, you read in chapter Judges 6, verse 11 onwards. There came an angel of the Lord and sat in an oak which was in Ophrah that pertained to Josh, that Gideon's father. And the angel appeared and said unto him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." Gideon was so downcast. They were all hiding in the mountains and caves. But the Lord told Gideon, "The Lord is with you." That's how the Lord speaks to us and encourages us, brothers and sisters. And the Lord told Gideon, even though he was defeated by the Midianites, "You mighty man of valor." And Gideon, of course, look at Gideon's response. He said, "Lord, if the Lord be with us, why is this all happening to us? Where will be all his miracles? Did not the Lord bring us from Egypt? Now the Lord has forsaken us." And again the Lord spoke to him. The Lord spoke to Gideon again and again. 6:14. And the Lord looked upon him and said, "Go in this your might, and you will save Israel from the hand of Midianites. Have not I sent you?" What a clear cut word from God. And what is Gideon's response again? "Lord, how I can save Israel? My family is poor. I am the least in my father's house." And again the Lord speaks to him. And the Lord said to him, "Surely I'll be with you. You will smite the Midianites as one man." And look at Gideon's response again. He said, "Lord, if I find grace," said, "please give me a sign." No. And it's amazing how patient the Lord was with Gideon. And you know, Gideon brought some offering to the Lord, and the angel touched that offering and consumed the offering. And Gideon said, "Oh, I bet the angel of the Lord, I must die." And the Lord spoke to Gideon again, verse 23. And the Lord said unto him, "Peace be unto you. Fear not. You will not die." And it's amazing how many times the Lord encouraged Gideon despite all his backslidden condition. Brothers and sisters, are you like Gideon this morning? Discouraged, backslidden, unfaithful, disobedient? Still, the Lord wants to encourage. It's amazing. Then Gideon built an altar and called that place, "The Lord is peace." Okay. You know, encouragement is necessary to fight the devil and our enemies. And after the Lord encouraged him, the Lord also tested Gideon. Chapter 25. The Lord told him, verse 25, "Take your father a young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years, throw down the altar of Baal that your father's has, and cut down the grove and build an altar unto the Lord, your God, upon the top of the rock. And offer a burnt sacrifice." And God's commandment is very specific. God was testing Gideon. The Lord not only encouraged him, the Lord also tested him. You know, the Lord always tests us before he uses us. And imagine what a tough test we can say. Gideon's father was worshipping the idols. Everybody was worshipping the idols. And the Lord said, "Go and destroy your father's idols." And the Bible says here, because Gideon feared, verse 25, he didn't do it in the daytime. He did it in the night. Never mind, at least he obeyed the Lord. And that night Gideon pulled down all those idols and they built an altar to the Lord and offered a sacrifice. So the morning people got up and they were wondering what happened. And they, on inquiry, they found out it was Gideon put it, and they came to Gideon's father and said, bring out your son. He has to die. That is amazing. Gideon's father was a worshipper of idols. Suddenly he said, verse 31, will you plead for Baal? Will you save him? Let Baal plead for himself, because one has cast down his altar. That's why that day they changed Gideon's name as Jerubbaal. Okay. And you know, meanwhile, all the Midianites, verse 33, Amalekites, all of them had gathered together to fight against Gideon. And there's something interesting we see now. Verse 34. He says, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon, and he blew a trumpet, and he sent people to gather soldiers to fight the battle. Brothers and sisters, you can't fight the devil with your own cleverness. You need the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Oh, I like that word. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. You want to fight against sin and the world and the devil? I want to say this morning, you really need the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord is upon Jesus. It's the anointing that breaks the yoke. And the Lord wants to anoint everyone in the church if they seek the Lord. So Gideon gathered 32,000 soldiers at this time. And despite all this, you know, Gideon was little, still fearful, doubtful. He wasn't sure whether the Lord was leading him. And he said, Lord, verse 20:36, if you save Israel, as you said, please, I want to give you a small test. Please answer my prayer. And you know this, there was a fleece of wool. He said, Lord, let the dew be on the fleece only, and let it be dry upon all the earth. And the Lord heard Gideon's prayer. And the morning we find that fleece, that piece of wool, it was wet, and he squeezed it and got so much water, all around was dry. And still Gideon was not convinced. He said, Lord, please don't be angry with me. Verse 39. One more test, Lord, to prove that you will help me. Now this time let this piece of wool, let it be dry, and all around let there be wetness. And God heard Gideon. It's amazing how patient the Lord is with us, brothers and sisters, despite all of our slowness. And the Lord still answered Gideon's prayer. Okay, now Gideon was ready to go and face the enemies. 32,000 with him. And you know how many people he had to face? The Midianites. 1,35,000 against 32,000 people. And chapter 7 verse 2. And this is the word I want to share with all of you this morning. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands. Lest Israel want themselves against me, saying, mine own hand has saved me. What the Lord was saying, Gideon, you got too many people. And verse 3, now therefore go and proclaim in the ears of people, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return, let him go home. You know, Gideon had to filter the people. He had to screen them, like they do in all the interviews. I want to tell you, dear brothers and sisters, even today, we have so many in the hall, I'm not impressed. And I'm sorry to say, the Lord is also not impressed. The Lord is telling, you got too many people here who are casual, who are half-hearted, who are not serious about Christian life and discipleship. Don't tell them. Those who are fearful and afraid, let them return. And 22,000 people went away. And verse 4, the Lord said to Gideon, the people are yet too many. What the Lord was saying again and again, and maybe something the Lord is telling us this morning, we have a whole bunch of average, mediocre, passive people. I want to say, such people cannot fight the devil. They cannot fight the world, fight sin. They cannot be in the amongst overcomers. So the Lord said, Gideon, one more test. Bring them to the water. Verse 4. I will try them for you there. brothers and sisters, the Lord is also testing all of us. And it shall be that of whom I say unto you, this shall go with you, the same shall go with you. And of whomsoever I say unto you, this shall not go with you, the same shall not go. You may think, why, brother, the Lord is doing it? You can't question the Lord. The Lord's looking for wholehearted people. The Lord knows our hearts. You can fool us. You can't fool the Lord. You can think, oh, my name is in the list we have. So what? Will you pass the test? The Lord has. So he brought the people to the water. And the Lord said unto Gideon, everyone that laps of the water with his tongue, as a dog laps, him shall you set by himself. Likewise, everyone that bows down upon his knees to drink, you set them aside. What the Lord was saying, see, bring them to the river and test them. Some people bend down on their knees, relaxed, they made themselves comfortable, they started drinking. And some people, they were so alert, they were watching for the enemy, and they just lapped up like a dog, the Bible says. And only 300 people lapped the water like a dog. All the others, 9,700 people, they were all very comfortable. They were, as it were, enjoying the world. And the Lord says, yeah, tell them also to go home. And verse 7, you're going to argue with the Lord, by the 300 men that lap will I save you and deal with the Midianites. Let all the other people go home. And that's what the Lord tells us also. It's good to hear what the Lord's saying. The Lord's saying, those who are worldly, those who are carnal, those who are half-hearted, I can't use them as soldiers in my army to fight the devil. And even here, he would raise up a small number of wholehearted people who can be a threat to the devil. See, all of us, I can't say we are useful to fight the devil. I want to ask you this morning, dear brothers and sisters, will you pass the test today? I'm not testing you, but the Lord will test you to see whether you're wholehearted or not, whether you're fit to be in the Lord's army. We used to sing a song, Sunday school song, I'm in the Lord's army. And and God took this 300 people, and Gideon had to confront an army of 1,35,000 with 300 people. It is humanly not possible. But God's ways are completely different. Okay. And still Gideon was doubting the Lord. So the Lord told Gideon, chapter 7, verse 9. Get down to the host. And if you, verse 10, if you fear to go down, go thou with Pharaoh, thy servant, the host, and thou shalt hear what they're saying. And after your hands will be strengthened to go down under the host. In other words, God says, just go to the camp and look at what they are talking. And then two chaps were narrating the dream they had. And he said, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley tumbled in the host of Midian, and it fell and overturned it. And this fellow answered and said, this is nothing except the sword of Gideon. For into his hand, God delivered Midian for all the host. Then Gideon got encouraged. Then he said, arise, come on, let's go. So he gathered the 300 people. And look at God's ways, brothers and sisters. The Bible says it's not by might or by a power. It's only by my spirit, says the Lord. Same way. So God told Gideon, get this 300 people, make three separate groups, and get a trumpet, get an empty pitcher, get the torch, and Gideon told them, tell them the sword of the Lord, sword of Gideon. And so when they started blowing the trumpets and they broke the pitcher, and the Lord did a supernatural work that is chapter 7, verse 22. And the 300 blew the trumpets, and the Lord said, every man swore against the fellow, even throughout all the host, and the host fled without them fighting. They got a victory. What the lesson? It's not by fighting. It's not your military skill. It's through faith. It's through praise. That's how Gideon won the victory against Midianites. brothers and sisters, it's faith in God. It's faith in God's word. It's through praising the Lord. It is through submission to God's authority. And that's how the Lord gave them supernatural victory that day. They defeated enemies. 300 people against 1,35,000. It was 100% supernatural. All the glory went to God. And they could never boast, it's our military strategy. No. When God does a work, no man can take the glory. The Bible says, let him who boast in the Lord. And I believe the Lord is looking for, even in our midst, such 300 people. I don't mean exactly the number. I believe we have a big number now. But the Lord is looking for disciples who will overcome Satan, who will overcome every sin in their flesh, who will overcome the world, and who are not afraid of the devil. I want to ask you this morning, when the Lord tests you, will you be in that number? You know, we used to sing a song, when the saints go marching in, Lord, I want to be in that number. Yeah, that's in heaven. But before we get there, I want to ask this morning, some of you are disturbed that your name is not in the commitment list. Will your name be in the list that the Lord is choosing to fight against the devil? And I want to say we are deeply concerned that, like just like the Lord told, the people that are with you are too many. We want disciples. We want brothers who are not afraid of the life. Who want to fight the flesh and the devil. And who are overcomers. Do you have a longing to be amongst the overcomers? I have met very few amongst us also. I'm sorry to say. Who say, brother, I want to be an overcomer. I don't care. I don't want any position. I don't want any leadership. I don't want the pulpit. I don't want to be speaker. But I want to fight the devil. I don't want the devil to have any power over me. I want to say, some of you brothers and sisters, you've lost your fire, you've lost your zeal, you've lost your fear of God, you've lost your devotion to Jesus. You're not passionate in loving the Lord. This morning, is there any idolatry in your life? The Lord's saying, go and break all the idols in your life. I hope after the meeting, you'll go and get before the Lord and say, Lord, let every idol be broken. I want to be yours completely. I want to be part of that number of overcomers who can be a threat to the devil. And that is true commitment, brothers and sisters. Commitment is not having a name in a list. Commitment is not just coming to the conference or coming to the picnic. Commitment means I'm 100% for the Lord, 100% against the devil, 100% against every sin in my flesh, 100% against the world. And I believe we need a revival amongst us. I don't know, suddenly I remember that verse. The Lord is saying, people here are too many half-hearted, just mediocre people. The Lord is looking for a small minority of wholehearted, God-fearing, humble, faithful people. And through them, God will build His church. It's always been like that. I want to read what Moody said. Give me 10 men who fear nothing but sin and love nothing but God, and I shall change the world. I will say it once again. D.L. Moody says, give me 10 men who fear nothing but sin and love nothing but God, and I shall change the world. And in CFC, we want people like that. I want to ask you this morning, why did you come to this church? Did you come to fear God? Did you come to hate sin? Did you come to obey God? Obey His word at any cost? Did you come here to get rid of every idol in your life? And we want such people only. And I want to tell you, if you're like that, the Lord will make sure you are in that number of overcomers. Okay. And we know Gideon got the victory. And verse chapter 8. I want to close with this. And so the people, verse 22, the people said, rule over us, you and your son. Your son's son also, you delivered us from the hand of Midian. Look at what Gideon said. Now Gideon is a changed man. Verse 23, Gideon said unto them, I will not rule over you, neither shall my son rule over you. The Lord shall rule over you. That is the mark of a true shepherd, true leader. And I want to say this morning, dear brothers and sisters, will you say, Lord, rule over me. Till now I've been a passive, half-hearted, lazy, superficial Christian. I hope this morning you'll repent and turn from all your sins and say, Lord, I don't want to be a burden to the church. I want to be part of that victorious army. You sing one song. Come join that victorious throng. Brothers and sisters, I believe the Lord is calling us to turn to Him. I want to ask you this morning, when you came to the church, probably you had more fear of God. Today you've lost the fear of God. Today, everything's become casual. I believe you need to repent and have an encounter with the Lord. Acknowledge your sin. If you acknowledge your sin, I believe the Lord will send a revival in your life and He will make you a victor, overcomer. And you can be part of the church that fights the devil. Oh, may God help us to raise up a small number, what we call the core. I'm not impressed by the full crowd. Core means I don't know how many. I hope we can raise at least 40 God-fearing, humble, obedient, faithful people whom the Lord can support. I can say that is the church. A church within the church. That's what God's doing in these days. Maybe respond to God and let's live in a spirit of repentance and faith, and may the Lord help us.
We read in Judges chapter 6, verse 12. You know, Gideon was the fourth judge in Israel. First was Othniel, who was a nephew of Caleb, and second was Ehud. Then was Barak, and then Gideon. And in verse 11, we read that this man Gideon was beating wheat in the wine press. Have you ever heard anybody beating wine, the wheat in wine press? Wheat they beat in the threshing floor, in the open field where there is a threshing floor. There they do the threshing of wheat. And heavy stone is rolled over that so that grain is separated from the husk, or even trampled under the feet of oxen. But here this man is doing that in the wine press. Wine press is something that's private and it is hidden. It's inside. They put wine and they crush it so that they can get wine. This man, because of the fear of Midianites, he was doing that inside, away from the gaze of others and also away from the gaze of the enemies. These Midianites always used to come and raid and take all the crops and, you know, away from the Israelites, and they were driven to mountains and caves and they were dwelling there. And at such a time the Lord appears, and look at the word the Lord speaks to Gideon and says, the Lord says to him, the Lord is with you, O valiant warrior. What is this man doing? He is hiding there like a coward, away from the sight of men, and then he is threshing the floor. And the Lord calls him valiant man, valiant warrior. And this is something, you know, when the Lord calls somebody, He always encourages them by either giving them a word of encouragement or changing their name. Like when the Lord called Abraham, He changed his name to Abraham. Peter's name was Simon. Name was changed to Peter. And here the Lord calls Gideon a valiant warrior. And that sort of brought some hope in his heart. And the Lord says in verse 14, the Lord looked at him and said, go in this your strength and deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. Go in this your strength. What is the strength that he got? It's the strength that the Lord gave him by calling him a valiant warrior. And then he says, the Lord is with you. Go with this strength. First, the Lord is with you. Secondly, you're a valiant warrior. And that gives him courage and boldness. And then the Lord tells him in verse 16, the Lord said to him, "Surely I'll be with you, and you shall defeat Midian as one man." See, there is something in this verse. You will defeat them as one man. Compare that verse with chapter 7, verse 13. There this man is relating his dream and he is telling, "Behold, I had a dream. A loaf of barley bread was tumbling into the camp of Midian, and it came to the tent and struck it so that it fell, and it turned it upside down so that the tent lay flat." You see the word there? You will defeat them as one man. And here is a word that says one loaf. Compare this. One man and one loaf. There are 300 men here fighting as one man, one army. And here is a loaf of bread tumbling down and coming and hitting against the camp of the Midians, and the tent of the Midians became flat. This one loaf indicates, you know, it's grains, many grains which are crushed and hammered, battered, kneaded, patted, roasted, and then made into one loaf. Many coming together and becoming one loaf. That is what we testify in the breaking of the bread. Though we are many, we are one loaf. What does that mean? That means unity in the spirit. Psalm 133 verse 1, it says, "How good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell in unity. There the Lord commands his blessing," it says in verse 3. Where there are one or two gathered together in the name of the Lord with purity, in love and in peace and in unity, there the Lord commands blessing. You read that in Ephesians 4 verse 3, "Being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." See, unity is preserved by people of peace. When there is no peace amongst God's people, there is no unity. One mark of unity is that God's people are at peace. Peace with God and peace with one another. If you are not at peace with your brothers and sisters or your life partner at home, brother, forget about the spiritual battles. You are battling for the devil, not against the devil. If you have a fight with brothers and sisters and with your life partner, you are not fighting the Lord's battle. You are wasting your time. You are fighting for Satan. And it says in Colossians 4:3, it says, "Praying at the same time," I'm sorry, Colossians 3:14, it says, "Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity." See, again, you see, unity requires love. We saw peace and now love. If peace is reigning in your heart and you have love for one another, Jesus said, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." Love one another even as I have loved you. Jesus gave us an example. And this way we come to unity through love and through peace. And the world says, united we stand, divided we fall. It's very true. When God's people unite their heart together and fight the Lord's battle, then victory is assured. Because the Lord says, "Where two or three have gathered in my name, there I am in their midst." And where the Lord is and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And it's not by might nor by power, as it says, but by my spirit, says the Lord. It's always by the spirit of the Lord that we win victory. It's not the number of people sitting in a church. It's not the 400, 500, 600 people sitting here. We saw 32,000 people began, but they ended up with 300. That's less than 1%. Even today, the principle is the same. God works with that 1%. 1%. It may be 1% or it may be just 1%. 1% of 600, you know what it is. It may be just 6 people or even less. Try to be in that number when the Lord comes.
Brothers and sisters, I want to turn to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. This verse that says, "We have a cloud of witnesses surrounding us. So let us lay aside unbelief, any other distraction, idol. Run with endurance the race set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith." Hebrews chapter 12 verse 1 talks about a cloud of witnesses. So it starts with therefore. So if we go to the verse before that, Hebrews chapter 11 verse 39 and 40. It says, "All these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised, because God had provided something better for us, so that apart from us they would not be made perfect." Brothers and sisters, if you look at that list of people in the book of Hebrews, in chapter verse 32, Gideon's name is mentioned there. He says, if I had time, I would tell you about Gideon and many other people. So Gideon is one of those who was approved because of his faith. And it says that among this cloud of witnesses, Gideon is also looking at us and telling us to look at Jesus. Lay aside that unbelief. That same unbelief that he also had when God first called him. Lay it aside. Look at Jesus. He's the author. He's the finisher. He's the one who did something in my life, and he can do it in your life as well. And it says that, so if we just think about, you know, what Gideon did, why did Gideon do what he did, right? We can say, yes, he was obeying the Lord. The Lord called him to do something. He did it. He had a desire in his heart that, you know, it was a secret desire, a small desire that I don't want to be. I should not give in to these enemies. I have to preserve my life. And, you know, that desire, the Lord saw that and honored that. God helped him to free the people of Israel from their enemies. All of that is true. But if you look at Hebrews chapter 11 verse 39, it says that he did it for us, for me, for those of us who believe. Because it says, God has provided something better for us, and apart from us, they would not be made perfect. That means what Brother Gideon was trying to do is not complete unless we do what we are supposed to do. Right? So there's something that Brother Gideon is speaking to us. He's saying, do this. Look at Jesus. Follow him. That's why I did whatever I did. Brothers and sisters, it says something better for us. What is this better thing? The better thing is the reality. If we look at the life of Gideon, it was a picture. And the reality is what God wants us to enter into. So we can see this picture most clearly if you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, where it talks about the jars of clay containing the treasure. And we understand that the battle of Gideon was a picture of the spiritual life that we have to live. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 6 to 12, yeah. Verse 7 says, "We have this treasure in earthly vessels. The surpassing greatness of the power is of God, not from ourselves. And what is this treasure? God, who said the light shall shine out of darkness, is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ." Brothers and sisters, Gideon smashed that jar of clay and the light shone forth and he got victory for the army of Israel. And he's saying, in the same way, You have to be able to be broken, to smash this jar of clay, this earthly vessel, and let the life of the Spirit come out. And that is the way Jesus lived. Look at Jesus. Look at the way he lived. He endured the cross for the joy set before him. Consider him. And, you know, I'm standing here among the cloud of witnesses to tell you this. Yeah. He says, if you read here, it says, verse 10, always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. What a wonderful thing it is, brothers, to see this, the glory of it, that in this earthly vessel there is a life of Jesus. And if that is manifested, if I can give up my own will, take up the cross, the fight is like the fight between light and darkness. If you have a fight between light and darkness, who's going to win, right? Just think of that army. They were like, you know, in this valley, and then suddenly they saw light all around them and they saw trumpets all around them. Brothers and sisters, there is no question of the forces of darkness winning if the light of God is shining forth in our lives. If the Spirit of God is allowed to break forth in our lives. But for this, we have to do what Jesus did. So if you just specifically look at this, Judges chapter 7, verses 17 and 18. And we see a picture of Jesus over there in the life of Gideon. So Gideon said to them, "Look at me and do likewise." Brothers and sisters, this is the word that we've heard in this church. That we must look at Jesus and do likewise. Follow in his footsteps. Take up the cross and follow him. And what did Gideon do? He says, "When I come to the outskirts of the camp, when I'm face to face with the enemy, what do I need? What am I going to do? You do as I do. Look at me and do likewise. When I and all who are with me blow the trumpet, then you also blow the trumpets all around the camp, save for the Lord and for Gideon." And then he goes on to say, "Smash the jar and let the light come forth." Brothers and sisters, when we hear the voice of the Holy Spirit, to realize that at that moment, if I'm willing to smash the jar, if I'm willing to smash this earthly vessel, then the light of God, the power of God will come forth in its fullness. And it's at the same time. There's no time delay between the smashing of the jar and the light of God coming forth. And there's no way this jar can win the battle, but the light of God can win against the darkness. The powers of darkness must flee. They don't have a chance. There is no way they can stand. I really want that faith to look at Jesus. Look at him and do as he did. As like Gideon says in this verse. And what he's saying is, what I did was a picture. I did it by faith. I did it in obedience. But it was a picture. But you have something better. You have the reality. And I'm standing in this cloud of witnesses telling you, look at Jesus. And as he endured the cross and was willing to let that jar of clay be smashed, the life of Jesus came forth in its brightness and its fullness. Brothers, I found out that the meaning of the word Gideon means destroyer. Okay, literal meaning of the word. Long before, you know, he was born, his parents gave him that name. It means destroyer or hewer or smasher. I want to remember that. I can be a smasher. I can be someone who's willing to smash this jar of clay and let the life of Jesus come forth in my life. Brothers and sisters, Gideon was an unlikely candidate. But just as God called Gideon, he's calling me. And if we answer this call, he can change us. And it's by the power of his Spirit in us. Amen.